Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
This is Dale Hurd of CBN News, and you're listening to Audrey Russo on the Real Talk Radio Show.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. Massachusetts is about to consider legislation that would make it illegal for licensed therapists to engage in conversion therapy for minors. And the Canadian Pediatric Society, their new guidelines now state that it's normal for children to change their gender every day. Have we lost our minds as a society? And does this border on child abuse? Well, we're going to find out answers with my next guest. Dr. Michelle Critella is president of the American College of Pediatricians and a general pediatrician with a special interest in behavioral pediatrics. She has chaired the Adolescent Sexuality Committee, the Pediatric Psychological Development Committee, and the Scientific Policy Committee. In these roles, she's become one of the college's chief researchers, writers, and spokespersons on issues of pediatric mental and sexual health. She is regularly consulted by Breitbart News, FRC, One News Now, Relevant Radio, and many others. Her article, Gender Dysphoria in Children and Suppression of Debate, was published in the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Dr. Michelle Critella. Welcome back, Dr. Michelle.
Thank you, Audrey. It's always a pleasure to be on.
It's always great to have you with us, and we're ready to get informed here. Currently, Massachusetts has no laws on conversion therapy, but the Massachusetts House Bill 4014 would make it illegal for any licensed mental health therapist in the state to engage in sexual orientation and gender identity change efforts with a patient less than 18 years of age. Now, this is to the point where a therapist could lose his license for doing so. Now, isn't this a dangerous overreach by the government?
Absolutely. And the reason it's a dangerous overreach is because the government is telling patients, so in this case, minor patients and their parents, that they may not set their goal for therapy. So, in other words, there's no such thing as conversion therapy. There is psychotherapy or talk therapy that licensed counselors, psychologists, and therapists can use to help minors and their parents discover underlying causes to same-sex attractions and underlying causes to transgender beliefs. So the state of Massachusetts is not outlawing, for example, electroshock therapy or ice baths or any outrageous practice. What the state of Massachusetts is trying to outlaw is speech, talk therapy. They're outlawing a minor child and his or her parents' right to choose their goal in therapy. The state is perfectly fine requiring therapists to affirm gay and transgender identities, even though that will lead many children down the medical path of puberty blockers and sex change hormones and leave them sterile. So this is a grave violation of human rights.
Wow. Well, I know that the supporters of the Massachusetts House Bill 4014 say the same thing that those that were supporting New Jersey and the California bill, you know, that they had similar bills, that it's a way to protect, this is what they say, that it's a way to protect children and their parents from unnecessary and potentially harmful therapy that can't work and shouldn't be tried. Why is this wrong, and why are their conclusions unfounded?
You know, it's like that old saying goes, if you repeat a lie often enough, it is accepted as fact. I myself and a psychologist, Dr. Christopher Rosick, who is an expert in treating unwanted same-sex attractions, he's also the past president of the Alliance for Therapeutic Choice. The two of us together reviewed the psychiatric and medical literature, which explores so-called conversion therapy or any sexual orientation change efforts. There is not a single study that looks at teenagers.
Wow.
There is also not one single rigorous scientific study that proves it's harmful, that proves pursuing this goal is harmful to adults. So the evidence is not there. And the reason these laws have been passed in about these therapy bans have been passed in roughly 10 states in Washington, D.C., is because they get away, the other side gets away with saying, oh, psychiatric and medical consensus is. Well, here's the news flash. Majority consensus does not equate to scientific fact, does not equate to truth. And it takes two things. It takes a lot of time and effort to survey the literature to see exactly what it truly does say. And then it takes a lot of courage to stand up against the politically correct crowd and say, this is a lie. Here's what the evidence really says. So we have a lack of facts and a lack of courage.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a greater concern about this, and I feel it's removing hope. And when you remove hope from an individual, you can often drive them to desperate measures like suicide. Am I correct in my apprehension?
You're right. We always hear, now the other side always spins it the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. They say, oh my goodness, we need to be affirmed. We need to have children affirmed as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender, or else they will kill themselves. But the fact of the matter is, there's no hard evidence or good, strong scientific evidence that affirming therapy, affirming them as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or trans, is actually helpful. There's no proof that they don't merely postpone their suicide attempts. I mean, in fact, in Sweden, we have a 30-year study that followed transgender adults. And that's essentially all they found is that those transgender adults, once they transitioned, their suicides were not prevented. They were merely delayed. 30 years out from surgery, their suicide rate was 20 times greater than the general population.
Wow.
Okay, so you are correct. On our side, children and adults who, deep down, they want to leave the homosexual lifestyle or the transgender lifestyle, they want to hear that they don't have to identify with these feelings, but they are being robbed of that hope. They are being robbed of a very real solution. And it's not all about religion. No. Psychotherapy and traditional religion can work together hand in hand. You know, there's this, the spiritual and the psychological. I look at them as parallel pathways, that one does not replace the other. They can both have significantly positive contributions to offer. So some folks who seek a way out of LGBT lifestyles are not doing it for religious reasons. They may be doing it purely for health reasons, because these lifestyles are associated with significant physical and mental disorders.
Yeah. Many, of course, proponents of these bans of, banning so-called conversion therapy, as you said, they're robbing these individuals and they're robbing them of hope. And who are they to, and who is the government to decide whether someone can choose this or not?
Exactly. Exactly. And it's interesting because the science that no one is born gay has been around since the 1990s. And it continues to build, but only recently have members of the LGBT community begun to admit this. There is a very important scholarly article from 2016 in which Dr. Lisa Diamond, who is an open lesbian and a psychologist, and in fact, she's very highly ranked within the American Psychological Association and is editor of their two-volume set called Handbook on Psychology and Sexuality. She has come out in a scholarly article and said all laws based on the alleged immutability of LGBT are not based in scientific fact.
Wow.
Because change happens. And she's got documented research that she has conducted and authored, demonstrating it clear as day, that change happens even outside of therapy. So how dare the state rob children and families and adults of the chance to pursue talk therapy to help them achieve their goals of attaining a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah. Are you aware of any efforts to oppose the Massachusetts bill?
Yes, there are grassroots groups there, Mass Resistance, the Massachusetts Family Institute, as well as, I'm sure, a number of and those two organizations work with a number of local churches and so forth. And there's also the National Task Force for Therapy Equality, which is a national task force of therapists who help individuals leave the LGBT lifestyle. So there's strong efforts underway to basically hold the ground for freedom, for right to choose ethical therapy, to pursue your goals. And the great irony here is that if this bill passes, if the state successfully enacts a law banning talk therapy to help people come to a heterosexual identity or to come to accept their biological bodies. The state is essentially legislating children into false identities. We have the research. A number of these children who experience same-sex attraction, who believe they're trapped in the wrong body, have been sexually abused.
Yes.
Or physically abused. Right. Abuse is a huge factor for many, many children who experience these same-sex attractions and transgender beliefs. So the state is condemning these victims to a false sexual identity. And as I said before, in many cases, this is going to force kids into the medical pathway of puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones and even mutilating surgeries. I mean, how can we as a civilized people allow this?
I couldn't agree more. It's just, to me, it is really insanity at this point. It's beyond insanity. It's cruel. It's you know, in the name of doing something, and this is another issue. But in the name of the LGBT community saying that they're being compassionate to these children, they are actually being cruel. Because they are encouraging them, and the medical community that encourages this and supports it is right. Further encouraging them in a disorder, and they're pushing them further into it rather than helping them. I don't know what in the world. Well, I'll tell you the truth. I don't know what in the world's going on north of our northern border. Yeah, this is, of course, from the Canadian Pediatric Society. From their president, as a matter of fact, Dr. Mike Dickinson, and I quote, "More and more parents are asking us when and how gender identity typically develops in children, what is considered typical behavior, and what they should expect at certain ages. Pediatricians are well positioned to answer these questions and help parents promote healthy gender development in their children, because some children's gender identification may change, especially around puberty. Families are encouraged to keep options open for their children." Why is this dangerously incorrect, and will it cause greater harm in a child's development?
Sure. What mainstream medicine and psychiatry is completely sweeping under the rug and ignoring is that Dr. Lawrence Kohlberg, developmental psychologist, defined how gender identity develops cognitively in children decades ago. Okay, so we know the answer. The answer is gender identity is very vulnerable to socialization. Okay, mm-hmm. So here's what Dr. Lawrence Kohlberg discovered and lays out. He said, cognitively, most children can correctly identify their sex by age 3. However, it's not until age 5 that they understand, that most children understand that a girl becomes a woman and a boy becomes a man. He then went further and until age 7 do most children understand that your appearance does not change your sex. All right. So if you take that basic understanding that a child's ability to learn our bodies declare our sex and that sex is permanent and does not change, okay, that develops over time. In the same way they learn facts about the rest of their environment. This makes sense because now, for example, in Rockland, California, when a little boy was allowed to come out as a girl on the last day of kindergarten, this was about a year ago, many of his peers were very confused. He came into school the entire year dressed and behaving as a boy, being treated as a boy, dressing and being called by his male name. The last day of school, the teacher reads I Am Jazz and a couple other gender-bending books to the class at Storytime dismisses, I'll use the name Joey, dismisses Joey to use the bathroom, and Joey comes back in a dress, and the teacher announces, "Hey, Joey is just like Jazz. This is really Josephine.
He's
a girl." Okay. The peers were very confused, as they should be, because they're only 5 years old, and they actually think that if we change our appearance, we change our sex. One little girl was so distraught that after her mother, after little girl took a bath that evening, and the mom was there, wrapped her in a towel, the little girl caught sight of herself with her hair slicked back and burst into tears. She thought she was turning into a boy.
Oh my gosh.
All right, so yes, it's a lie. It's a vicious lie. Okay? You cannot be trapped in the wrong body. Our sex is determined at fertilization by our sex chromosomes. Our sex declares itself in utero, and sex is recognized at birth by doctors or whoever delivers the baby, and hopefully parents recognize it too, right? It's not hard. And that's it. And it's permanent. But lying to very young children like this is going to derail the normal development of kids who never would have even considered that they are not their biological sex.
They're creating problems.
They are recruiting because socialization impacts our cognitive development as human beings. We are creating transgender children. And that's very important to understand. And at adolescence, the same thing is happening, but sort of through a different mechanism. In this, developmental psychologists have known for decades. I mean, Eric Erickson said it best, by the time you get to puberty, the adolescent, the teenager's job is to consolidate identity, or if they fail to do that, enter into what he referred to as role confusion. So right at that moment when the teenager's job is to find an identity, we are our culture to bombard them with this mental disorder that is gift wrapped and presented as something that is way cool and the answer to all. So it is no wonder that transgender identification has exploded exponentially among teenagers. Sure. It's social contagion.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I'm sure a lot of listeners are wondering why all of a sudden are medical and therapeutic practitioners questioning sound therapy?
It's so unfortunate, but essentially from 1973, in 1973, the American Psychiatric Association was bullied by LGBT activists to remove homosexuality from the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Illness.
Right.
So once that happened, once bullying was allowed to trump science, politics, particularly in the psychosexual arena, trumped science increasingly, so from 1973 forward. And to go against the politically correct line is career-ending for health professionals. And that is the greatest barrier we face. It is the number one reason people go along with the lies. And also they fear harassment, they fear death threats. I mean, it's
because there's no longer debate. Now they, you know,
debate is not allowed.
No, not at all. And that's where, hence we have the death threats. So you're putting, it's terrorism. It's a domestic terrorism.
Yes.
Are you finding more physicians that are, you know, getting the courage to join together with you and other groups to oppose this insanity?
Yes, there is hope. There are things happening under the radar, even on the left. When did I start this? I guess I've been at this fighting transgenderism in particular probably since 2015, and was extremely surprised and delighted to be contacted by radical feminists and midwives, and more recently now it's internists and OBGYNs who are not with the American College in terms of being pro-life. You know, many of them, the radical feminists, are themselves out lesbians, and they want to work together because they recognize that, particularly with the transgender issue, that this is the end of civilized discourse. It is the erasure of women, and ultimately the erasure of humanity. They recognize that, and it's exciting to me that those of us on opposite sides of the political aisle can find common ground over this.
Yeah, this is great. It is. Important question here, Dr. Michelle. Where can listeners follow and support your excellent work?
Oh, thank you. Yes, please, I encourage listeners to visit our website at www.acpeds.org. That's www.acpeds.org, and we have some wonderful resources there for parents, health professionals, and you can also sign up, you can go to our Contact Us button and sign up for our blog, Parent Talk, and you would like that. I think many of your listeners would really appreciate what we share on our blog and in our Parent Talk newsletters.
Absolutely. And as always, I'll have those links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the on-air button, and right under the show description, you'll find all the links and info that Dr. Michelle just shared. Thanks so much again, Dr. Michelle, for taking the time to share your excellent assessments. Will you join us again on the show? Yes?
Oh, absolutely. I may have to take in the summer, but I will be back.
Okay. Excellent. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.